Saturday, April 13th, 2024. This is day 4 and 5 of the Nineveh Adventure. Today's title, If You Aren't Going God's Way, You Are Going the Wrong Way. Well, today is Saturday, April 13th, which is the fifth day after the eclipse, and I did not do a podcast yesterday as I was simply too tired having done so much. Eventually, this podcast will become routine and easier to get these out. Right now, it's still a baby, so I hope that you'll forgive me as it starts to become what it is really meant to be, which I'm really not sure. I want to be a witness and to be a minister and ministering the gospel, and also not being afraid to speak out about the wicked events that are happening in our country and all around the world, to help people to be bold and strong. So I finally finished up my taxes today. We have a couple more days to get that done and entered and into the government here in America, if you are listening to this podcast in America. So anyway, I know that if you do have a business, what you want to do is wait until the last minute practically to file your taxes, because most of the time you are paying in, and so you don't want to have the government have all of your money any more than they have to, right? So the other thing is, now this was interesting because I've never received so little from my federal and so much from my state. And I live in Wisconsin, but I also do work in Minnesota. It used to be a reciprocal state, but no longer. It hasn't been for many years now. And which means, and this is a plug, I guess, for TurboTax. I should have a link somewhere so that maybe I can get $10 if you went there or something. But at any rate, I don't. But I do appreciate them. I really like the process to be able to do it. So anyway, it's been about 7 years or so that I've been with TurboTax. But trying to think about what I was going to talk about there. But anyway, just getting all of the taxes done today, it is a relief. But having done it so many times, it does become easier. I know how to navigate the area. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Because I live in Wisconsin but work in Minnesota with a lot of the things that I do, I have to pay tax, or at least file, in both Minnesota and Wisconsin, and also federal, of course. So anyway, glad to have that done. Today I'm going to speak a bit about current events, share a couple more verses from the book of Jonah, and how it could apply to the 40 days after this eclipse, and our own lives, regardless of the spiritual event that took place on April 8th. So let's take a look at Facebook. And now for me, Facebook really is a mission field. And I do, I put little things on there, little posts. Sometimes I'll copy and paste from somebody else. And it's interesting, the somebody else that I copy from, they have crickets. They don't have many people saying good or bad about it, but it's probably because they have a few people on their, how many people they have. I actually have 3.8k followers and 1.5k following, which I'm not totally sure what that means, but if you're one of the 1.5k following, thank you so much. Anyway, with that many people, I have gays, I have lesbians, I have witches, I have all kinds of people on this Facebook. And so I appreciate them stating what they state. And of course, they're not conservatives, a lot of these people too. So that's where a lot of things kind of make things go awry or whatever. So I'll have about 38 to 74 different comments. Now, this is interesting. It's MAGA, Make America Godly Again. And then it has Psalm 33:12. You can certainly look that up on your own. This is one of those that I copied and pasted. And I have 18 comments already. I just put that up here this morning. And let's take a look at the comments. And again, let's view more comments. Let's do all of the comments, okay? I don't know if it's going to give me all of the comments, but let's see. Can I get previous comments here? Well, it's the most relevant and whatever. So, but I'll just say that now again, it says, make America godly again. One of the comments is, too much of much evidence to even suggest that he is God. Absolutely, 100% not. Now, this is probably Trump derangement. And again, I'm not necessarily for Trump. I'm not for Biden. I'm for God. And so at any rate, if you talk about Trump, then all of the witches and the demons come out. And if you talk about Biden, then they immediately go to Trump. But at any rate, nobody in this post stated that Trump was God. Okay. And so somebody earlier said, what a joke. Really? Godly? I don't think so. So maybe what they're saying is MAGA isn't necessarily godly. But these are people that they wouldn't know godly if they saw godly. And so, of course, thank God it's not a drag show. That would be inappropriate for Christian families. And so then they're, you know, they've got some clad, a couple looks like cheerleaders without any, not much clothes on. And whatever, we've seen that picture before. And then there's a picture of Trump with Epstein, and so, and in some sort of a party, they've all got clothes on here, but they're indicating that there's some connection there at all. So anyway, we move on. Let's go to the next thing. And the other thing is, my statement on that was it AI or Photoshop? Only the person who posted this knows, or maybe not. So anyway, then this morning, I think it was this morning, very early this morning, I have quiet time in the morning. So sometimes when I'm reading, I see a verse that I think would be a good verse to share. I don't use references when I post them on Facebook because I don't want people to say, oh, that's a Bible verse, and not read it. So it goes, how long will you hand down unjust decisions by favoring the wicked? Give justice to the poor and the orphan, uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute, rescue the poor and helpless, deliver them from the grasp of evil people. But these oppressors know nothing. They are so ignorant. So again, this is something that was written in Psalms, well, at least 2,000 years ago, probably even more. I'm sure it was more because this was before Jesus came on the scene as a man. And so anyway, let's see if anybody, doesn't look like anybody really commented on that, but they may tomorrow. Now, if you don't know about this, on Friday, Biden announced that he would be canceling student debt of more than 277,000 borrowers. And so I went on to say, well, thanks to U.S. taxpayers who will obviously pay for all of this, Biden, with a stroke of his pen, cancels the responsibility of keeping one's word when getting a loan with a promise to pay. The administration is forgiving $7.4 billion for borrowers in more than 40 states in the latest debt relief and taxpayer increase program, bringing the total amount of student loan cancellation over Biden's presidency to $153 billion. Well, congratulations. Where's that money coming from? Out of his back pocket? I don't think so. It's through increased taxes. So I went on to say many are asking if and when he will be canceling mortgages and business loans soon. And there are people that pretty much say the same thing. One person states, well, it worked for him in 2020. Why not do it again? Sure, it was just found unconstitutional, but mainstream media has a very short memory. I don't know if it has to do with memory or if it has to do with they're on the same side. Now, here's a gentleman that really got into it. I'm not going to say everything that he stated, but it was very interesting because, first of all, he either is ignorant or he's lying, but he states that most of the forgiveness would be on the interest, not the principal, and only people facing hardships would be eligible. I'm sorry, I didn't see that in the news. And also, it doesn't state that. It says that he will be canceling student debt of more than 277,000 borrowers. He didn't say he's going to be canceling the interest. So hello. And now he goes on, this gentleman, if I can call him a gentleman, seems like a better use of my tax dollars than giving rich people and companies more tax breaks that they really don't need. So I went on to say, well, first, I'll excuse the tone of your comment to me, because he did, I'm not reading it, but he had some sort of a, not a very nice way of addressing me. But first, I'll excuse the tone of your comment to me and reply. Much of what you state about big business is true, but remember that these folks are in bed with politicians. Per people facing hardship, that's much of life, and we get through it. I'm sure you've faced hardship. I know I have, and certainly families are today during Biden's watch. That's why others are hoping for forgiveness and other loan types, with other loan types, which happens through tax increases, so it really doesn't help. Also, know that if these people won't pay this obligation that they agreed to, they will unlikely follow through with other obligations and keeping their word. We'll find out if this does much to help Biden's campaign. So then he replies, my tone, blah, 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 whatever. But then he states, and what I'm hearing is Trump won't pay his obligations, okay? And let's see, like president anyway, continue to forgive big business, whatever. I just told him that big business, not all big business, but some big business, they have their share of dishonesty. So what I stated here is, okay, first of all, what's Trump got to do with this? So you are saying that Biden can't handle his own fights? No one mentioned Trump. This is all Biden. If you want to talk about Trump, start your own post. Next, I'm not saying to crucify people who can't pay their debt. He used that word. But how is this debt any different from the debt that you've agreed to pay on your loans? What is different with this debt than the debt that people are racking up on credit cards right now because they can't afford food, housing, and health care? If you can't understand what I'm saying, and he stated that he wasn't able to understand, I will try very hard to make it clear. I went to college. I had college debt. It was years into my marriage before I had it all paid off with interest. Biden is not doing this because he's a nice guy. And in parentheses, I state he may be or he may not be. That's not the issue. This is not his place to take taxpayer money and distribute it in this way. The citizenry did not vote on this and okay it. If he wants to play nice guy, he can pay with his own proceeds that he gets from China and the Ukraine, not ours. Okay, so. And then somebody else is chiming in too. So, now this is interesting. Again, this guy did state something before this, and I'm not going to tell you everything here, but he goes on, I stand by. Why are Christians even worrying about unpayable, unforgivable debt? Seems hypocritical at best. Well, if your life's work doesn't have enough value to save your soul, don't worry. It certainly has enough value for me to pay it off. Well, okay, maybe I'll get back to this guy later. But it's like, obviously, you know, I stand by. Why are Christians even worrying about unpayable, unforgivable debt? Seems hypocritical at best. Well, I'm just going to reply here stating that because he's, okay, let's see. Like I said, he is using our money to pay for it. He can say that he's forgiving it. But those are just words. He's taking our money to do it. Okay, then we move on. So that's a little bit about that rant. Let's see if I can do another one here real quick. Now, one other thing that I do is quite often in my quiet time when I'm speaking to God and having a conversation, I have these moments, these gems that I feel God is sharing with me. So what I'll do is I'll put them online, and eventually I'll create a book with this too. Actually, I won't be creating a book because men do not create things. We can only discover things, and we can design things, and we can gather things. But anyway, I'll gather them and put them into a book. So, because God's the only creator. So what I stated, this was a memory that came up on Facebook from, 2 years ago. So in seeking to always be in God's will, you'll always be seeing miracles in your day. And so my whole little comment there was care to be aware. And let's just do a couple more. And so there's this big truck with this huge Bible on it. And a lot of people looks like they're praising God and they're going down a street of a city with some big skyscrapers. So anyway, it's just a witness. And then it's interesting. I was blessed yesterday to have breakfast at a real nice, it's not a glamorous restaurant. It's a really nice little cozy type restaurant. And here in Wisconsin, when you find those, they have really good value for food and especially breakfast. So anyway, I was doing some work in Gary, New Duluth. And so I stopped there for breakfast, and they call it the trophy breakfast or something like that. And I have 27 comments on that just from yesterday morning. People wanted to know where it was, and so I asked them and what they thought. And it was interesting that some people knew where it was. Then the other thing is, I think that we as Christians need to stand up even on Facebook and present the Word of God. So this person on this one, Kissing Fish Book, and so I guess if you did some sort of a search, you might be able to find it. But anyway, this person right away states, Jesus was not some sweet, neatly shaven white guy who carried a baby lamb in his arm, picking daisies, patting children on the head, and spouting off sappy stories about being nice. And so this is all very good information. And so he says, be honest here. Very few people truly sign up to live as Jesus did. So again, this is really good information. But what he stated, though, was that nobody wants to do this. And so, of course, nobody is a global term. My comment when I reshared this was, don't say nobody wants to do that. There is a remnant. Holy Spirit, help me to be more like Jesus. Amen. And I'll just do a couple more things. And then what I did is on my other Weeping Warrior broadcast, I shared a sinner's prayer with Billy Graham. Today I'll finish the broadcast with a different variation of the sinner's prayer. I basically want you to know that there's a few things that you want to include in it, but it's not a script. It needs to come from your heart. So anyway, this is a Billy Graham. I just put it on my page. And one last thing, another what I call a conduit thought, because it's between God and me, and then I share it. So my comment is, idle hands and thoughts really are the devil's workshop. And the conduit was that I posted, your idle thoughts of fear, confusion, and anything that is not of God can be idols. Be aware. All right, well, let's take a look now. Oh, one last thing that I see here. And actually, people liked this enough to share it. I had two shares anyway, but I'll read this for you, and it could be the inspiration today for this podcast that will touch your heart, speak to you, and make it worthwhile that you did listen to this today. So here it is. You are not unworthy. You never have been unworthy. Yes, you were born in sin because of Adam and Eve, but you are still worthy. First of all, God made you in his image, so you were worthy and you are worthy. However, because you were born in a sinful world, you are sinful and unworthy to be in God's kingdom. So should it be any surprise that the world says that you are unworthy? That you should kill yourself with drugs, mutilate your body, and even kill others? There was no other way to free you from this sinful bondage other than God sending his own son to die on the cross for you. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered and died and was buried on the third day, and he rose again. And in caps. All of this is very important because without that event, there is no way to escape this sinful world. God found you worthy because he sent his son. You are worthy enough that he sent his only son to die for you to get you out of this mess. You are reading this, which means God is speaking to you right now. Yes, you. You are only one decision away from salvation. Speak to one of your true Christian friends. It doesn't matter how much you've messed up in your life. Don't worry about that. Come to Christ today. Amen. All right, so let's take a look now and continue with Jonah. So now, last time we left Jonah with God telling him to rise, go to Nineveh, and cry out. And if you've listened to the last episode, you'll remember that I asked you if you are crying out, if I am crying out, or like I was listening to J.D. Greer, and if you're trying to look him up online, Greer is spelled G-R-E-E-A-R, so jdgreer.com, wonderful things there in his sermons. And in his sermon, he was talking about how people are not, in this case, crying out. What we sometimes think as Christians, that we can just go home to work, home to work, home to work, home to work, and that people will notice that we're not swearing or that we're not doing something, we're not joining in the crowd. And because of that, that they're supposed to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them, and they get the entire story just from that. J.D. Greer used one example saying that this one guy said, well, you know, the way that I witness is that I don't swear or I don't drink with the other guys. So he said, well, that's fine, but, and in so many words, he said, but how is it, are they going to get the whole message of Christ and what Christ did on the cross from that? They're not going to get that. And then another woman said that, oh, I'm not taking my kids to soccer practice or whatever it was because I'm too busy with the church work and I'm doing God's work here. And he said, no, your mission field really is that soccer place. Talk to those men and women, the parents that go there. And another person said, well, I'm too tired when I get home from work. And my comment on that is that, well, if you're too tired to live for God when you get home because of your work, you're in the wrong work. So we need to trust God. But on the other hand, though, is you could be at work and witnessing for Christ when you are at work. So many people think that, well, I'm a physical person, I'm a person, and I have God. And so I'm a person with God. But really, we are a soul and a spirit and a physical part. So in a sense, we're kind of like a trinity, aren't we? We are three. But we have the flesh and we have the spirit. And the soul gets smaller and the spirit gets bigger. The soul will be there, of course, our soul's saved. But the spirit is what we want to originate everything from. We want to start off in the morning by asking God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And how do you want me to do it? And then as we go throughout our day, that we look through our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and discern things. And that's why we're not seeing things, is because we're not asking God to help us discern things, and we're not really we're not intentionally trying to see things through our spiritual eyes instead of our physical eyes. And so we last left Jonah with God telling him to rise, go to Nineveh, and cry out. So I asked if we were crying out. Today, in Jonah 1, verses 3, and I think 4, but we'll find out here. But Jonah rose up to flee onto Tarshish, which is the opposite way from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And what a coincidence. He found a ship going to Tarshish. Wow, I want to flee from God, so I need to find a way to do that. And lo and behold, there was a way to do it. As a matter of fact, there was even a ship there going to Tarshish. How many times is Satan pleased to make a way out from God? God tells us that we can resist temptation, we can resist Satan, and God will make a way. Well, it's interesting that Satan will also make a way. So Jonah paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now let's think about that too, from the presence of the Lord. When we're having situations in our life, hardships, is it because God is right there, or we're away from God? God did not move. We were the one that moved. And it's like God is holding this umbrella of protection over us. And when we move out from that umbrella, then we're in Satan's realm. And we can be oppressed, obsessed, and depressed and everything else from Satan because we're away from God's protection. But now we always have God. God will never leave us or forsake us. He is in our spirit. He lives in this temple that we have here. But the Holy Spirit, it doesn't do any good if we're not seeking Jesus's his will and his way of living, and that we don't consult with the Holy Spirit. So anyway, Jonah rose up to flee onto Tarshish. So God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh and cry out. But Jonah rose up to flee onto Tarshish. He wanted to get away from what God was saying. Now you can certainly go to Jonah and read if you don't know why and all of this, but we'll talk more about this as we're moving on. So if you aren't going God's way, you are going the wrong way. We were born into sin, so by default, we are going Satan's way until we accept the work that Jesus did on the cross for us, and then we become citizens in God's kingdom. I was talking to a believer in the Lord who's a prayer partner last week, and I asked her, I said, why is it that many people become wealthy who are not saved? And of course, she knew the whole thing is that Satan, he's not going to get in the way and cause any problems and all of that as far as financially or anything else. He will eventually, but here's the thing. God's blessings fall on the blessed, fall on the righteous and the non-righteous. God put these things into place in his creation. Everything was good. So even though Satan has defiled it, people who are living on this earth because of the Holy Spirit being here, there's still lots of good. And if we follow God's principles of giving and sharing and being good and all this sort of thing, we are going to see success. And Satan doesn't care if you're successful or not, just as long as you're not going God's way. But now when you become a Christian, many times you may end up seeing some failure, if you can identify it with that or define it as such. But what happens is as a Christian, though, we need to know about our authority. And then as you learn the authority in Christ and live with Christ totally, then things start to turn around. And that's the best way, because then you know that it's a blessing from God and not just happen to be good because that's how God set it up in the fallen world. More to say about that, but some other time. So now here's a prayer of salvation. And again, you can go online and you can find all different varieties of the sinner's prayer. Basically, they say the same thing. And I'm going to present this. And if you are unsaved, I want you to repeat after me as I say this, but do it with genuine intent. And you probably won't see fireworks or even have a feeling a lot of times. Many times you will. It depends on where you are in life and just a lot of things. But if you don't see fireworks or have really great feeling or something, or even speak in tongues or anything like that, don't discount it. Because once you've stated it, you have become a child of God. Now, the source of this is learnreligions.com. Now, my situation with that is Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. If you don't know Christ, you don't know what I'm talking about as far as that goes. It seems like I'm playing with words, semantics, not so. But anyway, if you are saved, I want you to also repeat these words with me. And while doing so, pray for those that are praying this prayer for the first time. Pray that God will bless them and come into their life, and also that they will take up the armor of Christ and become a warrior also. And then after you've done this, for a saved person, make sure that you find a Bible-believing church. The other thing, too, is I want to have this sinner's prayer at the end of all of my podcasts, at least for a good long time, because to you, the saved brother or sister, I want you to get comfortable with being able to present the sinner's prayer. It doesn't have to be word for word, but there are a few things that you want to certainly include in this, and it needs to be genuine and intentional. So here we are. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner and have done many things that don't please you. I have lived my life for myself only. I am sorry, and I repent. I ask you to forgive me. I believe that you died on the cross for me, to save me. You did what I could not do for myself. I come to you now and ask you to take control of my life. I give it to you. From this day forward, help me to live every day for you and in a way that pleases you. I love you, Lord, and I thank you that I will spend all eternity with you. Amen. Now remember that there are places where you can go to get helps right now online, and they're free. If you go to billygraham.com or whatever his site is. And then the other one that I appreciate is Greg Laurie. And he was the guy that was part of the Jesus People Church and the Jesus People film. And he's done a lot of really great things. I like him a lot. So anyway, that's it for today. I also appreciate your time that you take to listen to this. I hope you appreciate it and you get something from it. Please let others know about it too. There is a link in the description that will take you to my blog so that you can leave your comments there and then I can reply. I also share some of my original inspirational art on merchandise, so you can use it for uplifting yourself and others, and even use it as a silent witness and even conversational starters. What does that mean? Well, then you can explain it. And if you have questions about it, ask me, then I can help you to explain it. Now, your purchases create income for me so that I can spend more time developing the content for this podcast and other things. And by the way, I create my own content. I don't use AI. And AI and not using it is something that I probably will share with you in the future. So God bless. Best of success. We'll talk soon. Thanks again. Bye for now. Daily I declare, my Father, my Lord, my Captain, my Savior, the great triune God, the great three in one, hallowed be your name. The name above all names, Lord, Master, Captain, and the Great I Am. Your kingdom come, your all, your will, your presence, your everything. Your will be done through me, through my thoughts and actions, on earth, on your entire footstool, in every blade of grass and drop of rain, on every inch of land, water, and sky, as it is in heaven. Lord, bring down heaven right now and allow me to see it and live it. Whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread, my food, my health, my wealth, and forgive my trespasses. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. As I forgive those who trespass against me, Lord, I know you forgave me, and you forgive me now as I am in the act of forgiving others, and not after I've forgiven others. And lead me not into temptation. Lord, I am weak, but you are strong, so keep me very close to you at all times. But deliver me from evil. Evil exists, and the closer I am to you and the longer I live for you, my eyes are opened. But I am not fearful because I know you and your armies protect me. I am as bold as a lion. For yours is the kingdom in which I live daily, and the power. You are all love, and you are all powerful, and though I am your warrior, you fight my battles. And the glory, all glory and honor and majesty is yours, Father, forever and ever. Lord, there is no end to eternity. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to the multitude of your tender mercy and loving kindness, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly and repeatedly from my iniquity and guilt, and cleanse me and make me wholly pure from my sin. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I am a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen.